Welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. My name is Sarah Deacon. I am a mom, an artist, black belt martial arts instructor, a life balance coach, and a general inspirer of others. In this podcast, we explore different topics related to physical and mental health, habits for success, creativity, leadership, intentional mindset shifts, and so much more. You're here because you're ready to tap into more of your potential and make an impact in your life. So let's get moving. Hello and welcome back to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon. And today I have my special guest here with me. Maggie Perrottin lives in Canada in the Toronto area with her blended family with four kids. She is a self-development geek, loves nature, traveling, and good food. She holds an executive MBA from Jack Welch Management Institute and has over 14 years experience in various corporate leadership positions. As an international business and leadership coach, Maggie helps service-based entrepreneurs make the income they want in their business and become outstanding leaders in the process. Through her dream, plan, do coaching model, she supports her clients in becoming confident CEOs by aligning their mindset, business skills, and high-performance habits. This allows them to transform their businesses from an unreliable source of income to a client-attracting diamond. Welcome to the show, Maggie.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so great to talk to you today. So tell me a little bit about your work as an executive coach, just from your bio. Let's start there.
So I help, as I said, service-based entrepreneurs, and it goes from solopreneurs to entrepreneurs who already are building teams or want to scale and build teams to grow their business. But in a way, I love to start with them as the CEO of their business, because I'm really of opinion that A, we're all leaders, whether we have a team or not, because if we have a business, we lead that business, right? And in order to lead the business, we need to lead ourselves. And when we upgrade ourselves, our skills, and the way we think, then the business will follow, because we make better decisions, we think through things, we have different perspective. So I started there, but of course I help my clients with business strategy, marketing, and all that. And I throw in to the mix high performance habits, because, you know, I truly believe that we can grow very successful businesses and have personal life, and that harmony between the two. We don't need to hustle. We don't need to keep busy all the time or overschedule ourselves. We can grow business calmly, strategically, creatively, and while really living the life that we wanted, that we want when we started it, right? Because truly, like, when I think as entrepreneurs, we start the business to have that flexibility and to be in charge of our schedule. And yet many people become kind of a little bit of, you know, tied to their business, right? And they can decouple, and they're, you know, they're falling into that trap, and that doesn't have to happen.
Yeah. That narrow focus is definitely a thing that happens. I work a lot with my clients too on balance, that, you know, mm-hmm. yes, you can do all the things. There just might need to be choices that you have to make to get exactly. there. Yeah, absolutely. I see that. I see that a lot. We get very caught up in busyness, and for, you know, for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially, it is a passion project. There's love and, you know, just real drive there, because it's on purpose, because it's part of their passion, because it's what they love. So I love that you work, you know, you work with that to create that balance, that harmony in, with your clients. Now, how did you get started doing that work?
So, funny story, I went through a burnout in a corporate world. And sometimes I think, who hasn't, right? but I did about 4 years ago. I was still in my corporate role. And it was situational where our department was put through some, you know, project or however you want to call it, where decisions were made, commitment was made to the client without the thought of how much effort it would be to live up to that commitment and how much more help we needed to do that. Mm-hmm. We didn't get the help. We get minimal time and we tried and scrambled to live up to that commitment. We failed miserably, but mm-hmm. that also led to, you know, not only me, but personally, like I went through a burnout and it got me on high performance coaching journey where I signed up and said, well, I have to do something for me, right? There's, yes, I don't have control over the decisions and the situation I'm in, but I can do something. And one of it, that something was, you know, sign up for a coaching program that was high performance. And, but also it got me to rethink my corporate career and how uh-huh. I wanted my professional life to look like down the line, because I realized I have many, many years to go. And, you know, I have a young family. I value my personal life as absolutely. My professional life. I need both. You know, we mm-hmm. joked before, I'm a Sagittarius. Maybe that's a Sagittarius thing. I do need to grow professionally, but at the same time, you know, have time and balance for my loved ones.
It's right. Make sure you're investing important. At home in those that's relationships.
Right. That's for right. Sure. Right. And so, and I said to myself, there has to be a way where I can do both, where mm-hmm. I can be fulfilled professionally and grow and be fulfilled personally. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see that in the corporate world, you know, whether yeah. it was with the employer at the time, or even if I thought, okay, even if I change the employer, because I don't have a full control over decisions being made, commitment being made, you know, I will always have that somebody above me, and sometimes not, I won't be always consulted, right? And I was at the level of my professional career where it's like, you know what, I want to make my own decisions and live their consequences, whether they're good or bad, but I only have myself to blame for them. And that's sort of that. And, you know, I just thought, what I love is coaching and developing people. And mm-hmm. in my leadership positions, that was always my favorite part. And the higher I went, the less of that I was doing. And I wanted to do more of that.
You would think yeah. as you get up higher in the ranks of leadership, you would be doing more leadership development and coaching, but
it's that was funny, not the case for you. Not the case. And I don't know if it was just my company and so on. It's like having people under you becomes this like, oh, you have them, so you just need to magically find time because you have a full-time job that's something else, right? Whether it's operations, whether it's business development, whether whatever, right? Depending yeah. on the role. And I was like, and you know, and me, because it was important to me, I was creating the time for my team, because if I didn't, I would have no time whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So I was finding myself when I was starting to do the 80-20, meaning 20% for my team and coaching and development and 80% of things that maybe I was good at, but I wasn't enjoying. Things that was causing, that were causing me stress, because I believe that when we don't enjoy the things we do, we might be good at them, but they cause stress, especially yes. if it's high responsibility, you know, fast-paced, yeah. whatever, right? High expectations. Whereas when we do things that we love, we just get energized by them. And we can do, and we can work equal amount of hours, but we're not going to feel stressed. We're again, go with more energy of the things we love. And I had to switch that, right? I'm not right. delusional saying like, hey, you'll never do things that outside of it, because being an entrepreneur and business owner, you do other things, right? Like being a coach, right. I need
sales, marketing, all those do. Stuff, exactly, those right? things I don't like to do.
Oh, they're not that bad,
right? I know, I'm getting used to it, but
they're not that bad. They're also like, I consider them as part coaching, just in a different capacity, right. But right,
the numbers and the data and the finances, that's sort of like the wheelhouse. I'm like, yeah. I will outsource that as soon as I can.
Yeah. So see, like, I like it. That's why I decided, you know, to go towards business coaching, not just, let's say, high performance coaching,
because
I do think business is fun. I like business. When we do it with that dose of it's fun, but it's not the only thing. There is more to life than just this. Mm-hmm. And let's just have fun and grow in a sustainable way.
Yeah. Right. It's like you're putting that, those numbers and that, that business aspect of it into context for your clients, where it's part of a bigger thing. It's not just, let's focus on this. It's hey, let's focus on this as a part of the whole, which is great.
Yes.
So how do you, balance it all?
So I definitely use the 4 years ago when I started on high performance habits, it put me to a path really to develop good habits. Uh-huh. And I have to say, like, it's amazing how that little things that you do day in, day in, out, and then the more you do them, the more automatic they become, and you can expand them and grow onto them, how much it changes. Like, it was just, you can't even explain it. I always tell my clients, and they don't believe it until they start doing it. And they're like, oh my God, I have all this time I didn't know I have. I actually have enough time, right? So it's truly having some good habits that are not rocket science, but being consistent with them and building them, prioritizing, planning, knowing ahead of time what you're doing, you know, not jumping from one thing to another, having your vision, your goals and actions aligned in your business, and then also making sure that you're taking care of yourself, that you're also doing in that personal life. You have time to recoup, you have time to rest, you have time to have fun, and you just get to do so much more things. You get to be so much more creative. When you're more creative, you solution better in your business. Things take less time. When you're not stressed, you're also not wasting a lot of time and energy dealing with that stress. That's how it goes. Like, it's just truly, for me, high performance is a way of living. It's not just productivity tips. It's not just time management. It's the way you live, right? Yeah. It just becomes who you are.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm hearing from you is like a couple words that jumped out at me were consistency and priorities is, I know that totally flipped a switch for me when I started putting myself first in the morning and like journaling every morning, exercising every morning and filling my cup up first thing instead of reacting to my day and trying to find time to wedge in my self-care. So I think that's definitely, it's probably something a lot of your clients struggle with is the reactivity, like reacting to life and all the circumstances, putting out fires or, you know, whatever urgency is coming at them instead of putting those things first that equip them to handle whatever might come later.
Correct. And, you know, there has to be this intention in the beginning, because when we're reactive, when we're busy all the time, then you think, oh my God, I don't have the time to plan. And where am I going to find? But you have to create that initial time, because the more proactive you are, the more you fill yourself up, the actually less emergencies in life happens. And it, again, it's not 80% life happens and I'm being reactive and putting out fires and I barely plan. You flip that switch. Then it's 80% I'm being proactive. I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm doing it consistently because I prevent a lot of fires to happen, or I can prepare for some, and only 10 or 5% there is the situation. And yes, there's still true emergencies and life happens, but you're also, as you say, so much better equipped to deal with them with more calm, more solutioning, rather than freaking out and then spending time and energy again, bringing your brain to calm and kind of solution. Right.
It really changes the focus. The focus of where you put your energy when that, you know, when you have that equipping of yourself, that intentional time, that consistency. That's something I talk a lot about on the show, because it is, the habits are so important. It's something I never would have become a black belt if I didn't show up to class every time. So we talk about it a little bit in the martial arts, just about how doing the same thing over and over again, you're not going to grow by leaps and bounds. But if you do that 1% change on a regular basis over time, it becomes a total life change.
Yeah. Yeah. And it compounds in the end either. So yes, there is a lot of, it really works like interest in the bank, right? To get to, you can be saving, I don't know, $100 a month only, but if you do it early enough and for long enough, you'll get to a million. But that million compounds over the last 3 years of your saving. And I don't know the math on it, whether it's 40 years, 20 years, whatever, right? But it's only the last 3 years. It's the same with good habits. Now, you don't need 20 years to get to like really good results. You want much less. But the thing is, once you get yourself to a certain level, as I tell my clients, you up-level the way you operate. So you start operating at a higher level. You get more done in less time, you feel better. And then any little thing you add, you up level again, and it really compounds. And it's not just in your business. The great thing about it is that, yeah, you could do it in the container of your business, for example, with me, right, as a business coach, but ultimately it will help you everywhere. And so I'm sure it's the same for your clients.
Yeah, totally. Now, you have 4 kids, 2 stepsons and 2 of your own with your husband. Tell me a little bit about your family and how you kind of take some of the lessons you've learned as a corporate professional, as a business coach. How are you teaching your children some of these things?
So yes, we were a blended family. So I just want to put it out there. Hey, I'm not the only one. My husband is an amazing partner. We're raising the family together, because sometimes people think, well, she's a woman. She does it all. How does she does it all?
Right.
No. Okay.
That helps with the balance. When you have a partner, it definitely helps with the balance.
It does. It does. Right.
And I give my husband some credit too. So.
And as the kids grow, that helps too, right? It's different when you have a baby and a toddler, and it's different when they grow and the two of ours, they're, you know, now 10 and 7, right? Much different. But how I, you know, what I try to instill in them is definitely taking responsibility and owning to their commitments, and when they decide things, to follow through, right? So not to blame the world or my sister or my brother, whatever. No. What was your responsibility in whatever? How are you following through, or how can you learn, and so on, right? So not letting them, mama, the coach, right? Not letting them blame the world on saying that you're responsible for your actions and reactions, you know, what could you do better? How could you have handled this situation? Another thing, it's actually something lately that I'm trying to help daughters. So I personally have my own journal that I give my clients. It's called Dream Plan Do, that have some, it helps with weekly planning, but also like mindset maintenance, as I call it. So filling up your cup a little bit. But I found on Amazon this journal for kids. And I don't remember what's the title, but Leadership Journal for Kids. So it's like whatever author. And I bought it for my daughter. She's, you know, old enough where she can write now. And
that's your 10-year-old?
No, my 10-year-old. Yeah.
Great.
So we're trying to journal together, like create a little habit. It's still kind of, you know, with her, it's not as consistent.
Right.
But I think it's great, like being able to just reflect on certain things, you know, journaling, is very powerful tool. Being able to reflect on certain things and put your thoughts on paper and so on. I think the sooner we start, the better. So that's something, you know, I'm encouraging her to do with the journal I bought for her. And they have some great prompts there on, you know, their day, and appreciate something about your friend or about your sibling or things like that, you know, like to really direct your mind towards more positive stuff and self-reflection.
Yeah. And you say that, you know, helping your children to take responsibility. I think that's That's really a great thing to teach, because I know that even a lot of us as adults don't always mm-hmm. own up to our part in conflicts yes. or drama or whatever mm-hmm. our circumstances might be, the consequences of our own choices. We still mm-hmm. a lot of times want to reach out and blame somebody else or some other circumstance. And I think that ability to take ownership and responsibility for our part, even mm-hmm. if it's not the whole thing, like there's always yeah. a part we play because we're there. Because just noticing how we are responding to the world is really, really important.
Yes, it is. And that's where it starts, really. And as you say, like, it's just, I think it's like humans, we have it naturally. It's like, it's not me, it's her. Or like, because they did it or whatever, right? It's almost natural. So like helping them see, no, like you were in a situation, you know, your reaction to that situation or actions you took, you're in control of, right? And yes, as children, of course, we need to learn that control, right? But I think it's easier when we learn that as children than when we become adults. And a lot of it is really like very habitual, very belief-based and so on. And then changing that, it's much harder, right? It takes longer. So when we can start as children,
I think it's sometimes for us on the road. I think it's sometimes when our children reflect back at us our bad habits or certain beliefs that we start to reflect and say, oh, maybe I should be a different kind of model for them. I know that was part of my story as well.
Yeah. And you know what? Like for me, it's funny you say that, because my journey with, I wouldn't say high performance habits, but even like the way I discovered mindfulness was because of my kid. So when they were little, you know, I think my boy was barely a year. So then there's only 2 years in between them, right? So my daughter was 3 and I had a corporate job, and it was, you know, running, being in that hamster wheel when you drop them at the daycare, and I live in Toronto, traffic is crazy. You're driving an hour one way to spend whatever, 9 hours at work. That's high stress, high pace. You're rushing back to pick them up, right? And it's just, I was finding myself by Thursday night, I was a mess. I wasn't patient. I was exhausted. And it wasn't the kind of mother I wanted to be, right? As you say, like, this is not the modeling I wanted to show. And I remember like, in one summer, I was visiting my sister in Germany, and she had a book on her shelf somewhere, like about mindfulness. And I just picked it up. I'm like, I think I need this thing. So I picked it up. I started reading it, and I had to leave. So I bought it in Canada, and I finished. It was like, I never remember the title, but it's like 8 weeks to take you from frantic world to kind of calmer. It took me like 16 weeks to go through this book, not 8. But even the smallest changes I did with that book, which was really minimal at the time, because I wasn't that mindset, I don't have time. Right. I'm not even on the self-care list. I have so many things. Yeah. You know, I have kids and stepkids and this and that. But even those little things that I implemented made such a huge difference when I'm like, oh my God, I have to slowly get myself more, because I can see how much better mother I can be for my kids. Just by, you know, meditating once a week for 10 minutes. Yeah. It was like literally that.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of us don't realize just how impactful those tiny little changes mm-hmm. can be. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. going back to what you said before about the consistency, just seeing that little bit, that how that result came from just that little change. Yes. That helps us make the next one be consistent with that small change, that new habit.
Right. That's right.
We think we have to change everything all at once sometimes. And mm-hmm. really unsustainable. And it makes us feel even worse at when we fail at it.
Exactly. Because we will, right? If we try to change the world, sooner or later, we're going to fail, because it's very hard to sustain huge, huge changes, because they require a lot of effort and energy. And our brain's like, forget it. I have a life to live here. And there's a lot of other things. So we fail. And then we're like, well, then we blame the thing, saying this is not working, right? As opposed to, okay, because again, our brain doesn't want to believe that one little thing that's very simple can make such an impact.
Right.
And it can, and it's so much better to just stay consistent and then grow from there, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And when you do that, you truly, like, it just changes your life for so much better, so much better.
Yes. Now, you mentioned visiting your sister in Germany, and your accent is not a Toronto accent.
No.
So tell me a little bit about your origin story, where you're from, and your experience.
So my origin story, I'm actually Polish. I know my accent probably is not as Polish, but I laugh. So I speak English and I also speak French fluently or advanced, not fluently, as fluent as my English, but, you know, I understand everything. I can have a totally fine conversation. So fluent, not trilingual. I can't fully joke or express my personality in French. So I'm fluent, but, you know, so I guess the accent's gonna mix. And I started learning French quite early, like when I was maybe 8 or 9, because I have an aunt, my godmother immigrated to France back in the deep communist regime. And then English went after. So like as a child, I guess I had this thing to pick up on accents. So now I have an accent in all three languages. It's just hard to say.
It's unique.
It's unique, yeah.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about your history there.
Yeah, so as I said, I was born and raised in Poland. Probably I'm the last generation that sort of remembers a bit of communist regime. I was 11 when it collapsed, so I still remember empty stores and queuing forever to get a piece of meat and having rations on the meat or coffee or things like that, right? But again, I was 11, communist regime collapsed, Poland sort of entered the Western country. When I finished my university, my master's degree, at that time, there was a huge unemployment in Poland. So we were going through a lot of economic changes. We wanted to be in, you know, in European Union. So there was a lot of reforms done. Unemployment was quite high, I think 20%.
Wow.
It was pretty bad. But again, I finished university. I spoke two languages. I was in a big city. So I had jobs. Like I wasn't not employed, but I was making like, I don't know, $300 or $400 a month. And it's not like Poland is that much cheaper than, let's say, Canada or US. It's not. It's very similar pricing. So I was thinking like, how am I ever going to get, like, I was dreaming to have a house since I was a little girl. I wanted to have a house. I'm like, how am I ever going to own a house making $300 a month and working like a crazy person, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to work. So then I was doing this postgraduate school of translation and interpreting English, Polish, and English, Polish, English. And one of my friends in that school was saying like, hey, you know, you speak French and English and Canada has this immigration program or it's a point system and so on, you should look into it. And I didn't really even think of immigrating to Canada. I was just becoming disillusioned about, well, maybe I should think about, I don't know, immigrating or leaving, or, you know, your Poland was close to entering European Union. So I was like, ah, oh, maybe I'll just go somewhere, right? France or whatever. But I looked into it and it seemed pretty straightforward. And my partner at the time, he also had some family here in Toronto. And we talked to them and they were like, yeah, Canada is great. If you guys come, you know, we'll be happy to support you in the beginning. We love to have more family here. So we applied. I was like the main applicant because it's a point system where you sort of, when you qualify and you have enough points, then of course you can bring your family with you.
Okay.
But it's like based on the main applicant who's more likely, right? Most likely to be qualified. And it was me. And it's like a year and a half to 3 years process, depending on where from the world you're trying or how consistent you are in following up.
Sure. The thing. Right. Bureaucracy is a thing.
Right.
All but over the world. All over the world.
But when you're like dog on the bone following up, they actually move you somewhat of a, you know, faster pace.
They just don't want to talk to you anymore.
Right. They're like, oh my God, she's here again with her emails. Like, let's just move her file. So a year and a half later, we got a permanent residency and we were able to move. And when you're young and you have nothing to like hold you, right? You have no kids, no mortgage, no nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, let's try. Why not? And we moved. I never flew a plane before. Like that was my first flight ever.
A big, long one.
Moving. Yeah. Big, long one. Moving to Canada. And I have to say it was like one of my best decisions I've ever made in my life. I truly love Canada and being here, not just, you know, economically, but like just mentality and how people think and how inclusive and diverse everything is. It's just, that's totally me. So yeah, that's my story. And then I, you know, because I spoke French and English, I got a job in a facility management industry in like a customer service center, taking calls from tenants in buildings with their problems in French and English. And then I sort of grew my career, my corporate career there until, went from there.
And did you buy your house?
I did. I'm in my second house.
That's great.
I'm in my second house in Canada. Yes. That's right.
And dreams come true.
They do. Yes. They do.
And that brings me, I think, back around full circle in the, in your bio, you talk about your dream plan do process, your coaching model.
Yes.
So is that based on your personal experience or how did you develop that model?
You know, it's funny. I think it is, but I didn't see it when I developed it. And only recently somebody pointed it out to me, saying like, oh my God, you shared this story. It's exactly how you lived your life. I'm like, you're right.
It's always so interesting because with coaches, like with among coaches, we don't always see the patterns that we can see so easily in other people. We don't see it in ourselves. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. And that's, you know, that's just a proof that we all have our blind spots, that we can't see everything in our life, just normal human thing. And having your coach is a great thing for you, for everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
But that's what it is. So it's dream, you know, dream plan do is just, okay, we all have ideas. We all have our dreams and that's great. It all starts there, right? And we need to work on believing in the possibility of it happening and learning how to deal with the negative brain that comes and says, you can't do this. This is not possible. You're not good enough, whatever, right? So there is this part. But in entrepreneurship, especially I see, and I've seen this in the corporate world as well, people go from, yes, I have this idea. It's amazing. Let's do it. Like straight to doing it. And then what happens is they cause themselves so many challenges that either they stop altogether, they fail just because they haven't thought it through a little bit, or it takes them so much longer, so much more time and money is put into it, as opposed to when you take one step before doing it, you actually plan a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And depending on the idea, it doesn't have to be long. If it's a simple idea, it could be literally 10, 15, 30 minutes to say, okay, I believe in it. What do I need to do to make it happen? How long do I think it will take me? Yeah, let my brain, my fear-based brain, to come up with all sorts of ideas why that shouldn't, why it's not possible. And let me just solve for it. Okay. If it does happen, like, what am I going to do? Right. I'm not going to stop, but what am I going to do? And then go and implement. And I can guarantee you're saving us. I don't remember who said that, but like with 1 hour of planning, you save 10 hours of doing. It's true. And there's stress you're saving yourself and there's money you're saving yourself and so on. And again, a lot of people don't do that. They have the tendency of going and it costs tons of stress. And it costs, and sometimes not only us, but people around us, whether it's our family, if we have teens, you know, again, I've lived that, right? My burnout, that's where it came from a little bit. So yeah, preparing yourself a little bit just like, it's better.
Right. I think that shows up in that, you know, that discipline that could, you know, what we're talking about, the prioritizing and the, you know, the consistency, making that, putting that first and making that plan a priority before jumping right in and
flailing
all around.
Makes, Exactly. That makes you proactive. And then your execution can be so much better because your solutions are so much better. When you create space for your brain to think, you are actually activating the creative solution-based brain that you can't activate when you're like in a day-to-day tactics, extinguish fire. That's like fight and flight brain, right? That's the survival brain.
Yes.
So you can create actually so much better solutions. So your execution is better, your quality is better, or the whole output is better when you do that.
Yes.
And absolutely. You feel better.
Yes. Well. Less stress, less pressure.
Yes. Yes.
For sure. Well, Maggie, we are getting down to sort of the end of our interview here. I always like to leave my listeners with just a little tiny challenge that they can maybe take with them after listening to the episode to implement to improve life in some way. We've talked about consistency, habits, creativity, pouring into relationships, all sorts of different things, overcoming challenges, dream, plan, do instead of dream, do. yes. What is something that you might say to my listeners today that would help them out, maybe make just a small change?
Yeah. So I will give you the tiniest change ever that takes literally 30 seconds. And when I implemented it, that was, I think, after I did like a 10-minute meditation every once a week or even every other week, that's just like made such a difference for me. And it's literally when you get up out of your bed, don't look at the phone. You know, you can go to the bathroom if you need to, but don't look at the phone. And then stand on the ground, ground yourself, and take four deep breaths. And four deep breaths in a way where you inhale on four, you hold the breath on four, and you inhale, exhale on four. So 1, 2, 3, 4 in, you count to four, you hold, out 1, 2, 3, 4. You can close your eyes, you don't have to, literally four times. It takes 30 seconds. If you do it even just for 3 days, I can guarantee you will feel so much better and so much more grounded, and your day will go so much calmer, and you will handle stress better, that you will want to continue. 100%.
That's beautiful. I love connecting with the breath. I think that's it is so simple. And again, it seems like it might not actually make that large of an impact, but I can totally see how it does. I know when I started meditating and just focusing on my breath, it opens up that space, like you were saying, for the creative mind to come in, for the ideas to flow, for everything else to sort of lose its urgency or craziness.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Now, Maggie, where can my listeners find you?
The best way, probably through my website. My website is stairwaytoleadership.com. So one word, stairwaytoleadership.com.
Or, and I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah. Or LinkedIn, Maggie Perotin. That's
fantastic. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Maggie. I really enjoyed talking to you. This is a great conversation.
Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you, everybody.